start with a scripture. Galatians 4:4, and I'll try to talk fast, and hopefully I'll say the right words up here. Everyone was struggling this morning with saying the right words and the right terms. But Galatians 4:4, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And I love the scripture because it tells us that there was a certain time, a special time, a destined time that Jesus came to the earth. And this was a time that was in God. God orchestrated it all. God planned all the circumstances, and it was a destined time. It was a destiny time. And why was that? Well, you know, it was interesting because after all the prophets spoke, the last was Malachi, there was 400 years of what we call the silent years, the quiet years. So for 400 years, God said all he was going to say. He said all the prophecies telling about the Messiah coming, those were all mentioned. And then for 400 years, nothing. Could you imagine living in those 400 years, like waiting, and, you know, no Messiah? So the reason, some of the reasons now looking back at history, why Jesus came when he did, well, there was, first of all, the Jews were under Roman occupation, as you probably remember, and they were greatly waiting for their Messiah. They were always asking Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom? Are you doing it now? You know, are you going to take down the empire? You know, so it was almost like they were ready for something great to happen. Rome was also, had also, because it was an empire, it had unified pretty much the whole world, created transportation systems. So this was a key part of spreading the gospel, because after Jesus rose from the dead, he said, go into all the world. There was actually, it was actually a great time to travel. And we've got friends in Rome today, actually, who traveled there. But back then, it was by foot, by donkey or horse. But people could travel. The Roman road system was amazing, and it connected all of these main centers of trade, so the gospel could flow freely. And there was also a common language, and that was the Greek language, that was the language of commerce, the language that most of the people spoke at that time. So the gospel could also go that way. You know, it didn't have to be translated to so many different languages. And also it was a time when idol worship kind of lost its sparkle. You know, the Greek people in the were just tired of worshiping idols. It was just, you know, costing them money. There's so many idols. They had to buy this, had to do this, had to sacrifice this. And I think people were just hungry for the message. They were disappointed by Greek philosophy. There was a spiritual void. And even with the Jewish people, they had tried to keep the law. They knew the law. The synagogue was established, or the temple was established. There was all the worship was in place, but it just left them empty. So this was a very excellent time for Jesus to come. I mean, God planned it, and not to even mention the prophecies, which you can actually go down from 445 BC when the temple was restored, and you can read this in Nehemiah, or come to our last days class. That was excellent. We learned a lot about this. So from that 445 BC, actually to the week of the crucifixion, those weeks are all accounted for in prophecy. Isn't that amazing? So some, you know, scholars and mathematicians have figured it out. Take out the leap year, take out this, take out the special, you know, days, and it actually comes right down to the day of Jesus walking into the temple, and 1 week later he's risen from the dead. So it's amazing, amazing. So God orchestrated this all. God planned this all. So what I want to talk about today is divine time. Trusting in God's timing. So divine time, trusting in God's timing. So I'm going to throw a bunch of scriptures at you. I apologize. Bible school teacher here. I like to, you know, get through a lot of content. So, but this will be filmed. Thank you, Nixon, for being on the camera and all the, let's give our audio visual guys a good hand. Thank you. We appreciate that so much. I know people are watching as well online and watching the program, so thank you so much for all the work you do. So we live in time. So think about how many times there are in your life, okay, just an average day, morning time, night time, nap time. How many take a Sunday nap? I know you do. Lunch time, supper time, there's school time, there's work time, there's summer time, right, coming up. What's your favorite? Do you like family time. You know, moms, we always used to plan a family time. Friday nights were movie time. Christmas time is a big time for all of us. And how about this mom's me time? Do you guys get any of that? Me time. Just a time to kind of, you know, do your own thing, go shopping, pamper yourself. We all need that me time, and moms especially of young kids need that me time. And our dog's favorite, walk time. You can't even say that without chaos breaking out in the house, right? So we all have times. We all go through these different seasons. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. This is just a beautiful passage of poetry, Hebrew poetry in the book of Ecclesiastes. Oh, I better grab it from my Bible here. And of course, Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and Solomon's dad was King David, and his mom was Bathsheba. So interesting how this adulterous affair that was terrible, you know, God brought something beautiful out of it. And Solomon was the beautiful son that came out of that affair, or out of that relationship. And actually, you know, he writes so many things in the Psalms and in the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes to obey your mother, honor your father. So, you know, even though his parents were not perfect, he still believed in obeying and honoring his parents. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So many seasons in there. I think someone should write a mother's version. A time to be pregnant, a time to give birth. Oh, speaking of being pregnant, I have a little object lesson for you this morning. Okay. So this represents 10 centimeters. Does any moms know what 10 centimeters means? Raise your hand if you know what 10 centimeters means. Okay, so I don't want to be too graphic, sorry guys, but this is reality, and this is why you should love and adore and kiss and bless your mom, because 10 centimeters is the expansion that had to happen before your mom could push you out into the world. So that's pretty big, and that's, you know, that's just like to squeeze that baby out, right? So your mom did an awesome work. There was a time to be pregnant, and that was 9 months. There was a time to give birth, and even if that's all she did for you to bring you to this world, that was a huge sacrifice. She would never be the same again. There's a time to be slim and a time to have a paunch. Your body will never be the same, ladies. So, yeah. So there's seasons, there's times, and we need to appreciate our moms. So can you catch this baby? Here we go. Good job. There's a time to sleep, and there's a time to wake up many times during the night. Amanda, I think, and Blake are going through that with their new baby. And then there's a time for diapers and a time for potty training. And then fast forward, there's a time to graduate high school and a time to move into the basement. So that's our new reality. Awesome. Well, someone else could add to that. That would be a really fun thing to write. Send me a copy after you write the whole thing out for us. But what I wanted to say about this verse particularly is we live in time. We live in something called chronos. So chronos, which is a Greek word from which we get chronological. So that means linear time, minute by minute, day by day, month by month, year by year. You know, decade by decade, century by century. That is chronos time. That is the time that we live in. But you know what? God does not live in time. He's outside of time. He created time, which is kind of blows our mind, right? But the Greek word that is used in many scriptures is the word kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, kairos. So there's a kairos time, which means, I love this, God's right season, God's occasion, God's opportunity, or a moment of grace and favor. So within our chronos time, it's punctuated with these little times of kairos time, where God just, boop, you know, enters into our lives, changes our destiny, right? And how many of you, when you got saved, when you came to Christ, when you recognized you needed a Savior, you received Him, how many of you recognized that was a kairos moment? When you said, yes, God, I give my life to you, I surrender to you, your will be done in my life. And we have many of those, but there's some significant ones that we look back, we have these kairos moments where it's almost like God came down and kissed us, and we're like, yes, you know, and we got to know Him, and He changes stuff. And that's why I love that song we sang this morning, you know, that He's always working. He's working. He's the way maker. He's the promise keeper. So He's always working in our life through kairos time. So, but He interjects into our daily life. But the thing about that, which can be frustrating, is God's timing is not our timing. You know, we want, you know, I prayed this morning, I want the answer now. You know, I want God to move now. And, you know, just like we said in the first scripture we read, when the time had fully come. So there's a full time, when the right time, where God will come and do something in your life or change your life, change your destiny. It's God's timing, not our timing. That's a hard piece to handle sometimes because we're impatient. You know, we want things now, and we think we have the best plan. But you know what? Sometimes we're not ready for what God is wanting to give us or what we've prayed for. So we have to, you know, it might be up here, but we have to kind of grow to this level so we can receive that. So let me give you a few scriptures where we could see God's time and how we can respond to God's timing. So Daniel 2, 20 to 21. And Daniel, of course, was prophetic. He had many prophecies about even the time we're living in today. But he says, blessed by the name, be the name of our God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and He raises up kings. Isn't that awesome? So God can change times and seasons in your life when it's the right time. The next scripture I want to share is Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hand. Isn't that a good prayer to pray? Okay, God, I've done all I can do. I'm going to stand in faith, and now I just believe my times are in your hands. You know how to navigate through this with me. Galatians 6:9, and this is something you've probably read, so these next two are from the New Testament. In due time or due season, you will reap if you do not give up. So there is a due time. That's kind of like the fullness of time. And again, 1 Peter 5:6, another scripture, He will exalt us in due time. And Peter talks a lot about suffering. So if you're suffering, read 1 Peter. There's so much encouragement there. And that's what he's talking about, in due time. You know, like, yes, you're going to go through this. It might be rough for a while, might be difficult, but in due time, you're going to be lifted up. You're going to be strengthened. You're going to be better than you were before because now you know that you can stand. You can stand on my word. My word is true. So he will exalt us in due time. And then Ecclesiastes 3:11. This is just a beautiful verse. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Everything beautiful. No one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So how many of you would agree that God is smarter than we are, right? But sometimes, right, we act like we know what's best. We know this is the best time, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, so we just have to submit and realize, okay, you know, if this isn't changing, I've done all I can. I'm believing, I'm praying, I'm living, you know, according to the principles of the word, then I just have to leave it in God's hand. It's in His hand. It's in His timing. And that's a hard to wait for that due season, isn't it? It's hard. You need patience. You need to put down the flesh and the things that you want, but it's hard to wait sometimes for and trust his timing. But here's a couple of scriptures to encourage you. Isaiah 56, 8 to 9. And I love Isaiah. Especially the last few chapters are so powerful. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we have to remember that. God's smarter than us. His thoughts are different than ours. He has different plans for us than our own personal plans. So that's why every day when you go to prayer, you know, surrendering yourself, not my will but yours be done. That's a great prayer to pray. I mean, Jesus prayed it before he went to the cross. He didn't want to go to the cross in his humanness, but he knew it was the plan and the way that God had designed it. Romans 11:33. Here's a New Testament, some New Testament verses about God's thoughts. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So lots of his ways, we don't know his ways. You know, we know what's revealed to us in Scripture, but when it comes to our personal life and our personal destiny, the plan that he has for you personally, maybe your calling, your gifting areas, that's something that he's going to show you and reveal to you as you walk with him. 1 Corinthians 13:9, for we know in part. So we don't know it all, guys. We don't know why certain things have happened, and that's where we have to just leave it with trusting God for his wisdom. And 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly. So we have some vision, but there'll be a day when we'll see clearly and we'll see everything the way he is and the way we are. We'll see our true self. And I like this version. I like the scripture from the Message version. It says, we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. Isn't that nice when the sun is shining? We'll all see it. We'll see it all then. See it as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly as he knows us. So we'll know him. We'll see him, and he'll see us. And we'll also see ourselves. So that is one day that's coming. And you know, every day we're getting closer, right? As we walk with him, we get closer. We know more. You know, I can trust God more now than I did 30, 40 years ago when I first started on this journey, because I know his word and I know his character. So it's a process. It's a journey. We're all on it together. So what do we do when our prayers aren't getting answered? What do we do when things aren't changing, circumstances are changing? Well, I'm going to give you a real four-letter secret word, wait. I know, it's like, I hate that word. So waiting is actually a biblical word, and it doesn't mean just waiting in line, hanging around, you know, waiting for your turn, that kind of thing. It's not a passive kind of word. Waiting is actually a biblical word. In Hebrew, it means to hope for, to anticipate, while in an attitude of trust and submission. So it's basically another word for trusting, an active trust, an active anticipation, like a hopeful, I'm waiting, I'm hoping, it's coming around the corner. It's, you know, if you were getting an Amazon package to your house and they said it was coming like this afternoon, you'd be kind of waiting. Oh, is that it? Is that the delivery? You know, something very special or something that you need or something that you don't want sitting on your porch for porch pirates. So it's like you're waiting, you're anticipating. You know it's coming, but you don't know exactly when, right? So that's the kind of idea, waiting, anticipating. You know it's coming, you're hopeful. So there's a couple of scriptures, many scriptures actually, and many of them are in the Psalms. And did you know there's different kinds of Psalms? If you look at the book of Psalms, it was Israel's hymn book. So a lot of the Psalms were actually songs. And you might even recognize when we sing songs here at church that some of them are from Psalms. And you might be reading through the Psalms and then all of a sudden you'll start singing that Psalm, you know, because you've heard it you know, put to music. But there's all kinds of psalms that were written in different categories. There's the hymns, there's the thanksgiving psalms, there's the remembrance psalms where Israel talks about, remember when we came through the sea, you know, remember what Moses did. There's also laments, which are like, God, why aren't you helping me? You know, they're the complaints, right? But they should always be followed with the thanksgivings, right? But there are, Psalms are very honest. It's a very honest book. But here's a few about waiting. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. So we don't have to be fearful when we're waiting for his promise to come to pass. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. He is our help and our shield. And here's an exhortation from Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And here's one from Isaiah that I really love. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you hearing Phil Driscoll right now? Do you remember that? Beautiful music. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For those who wait on the Lord. So just some fun facts about eagles. Did you know their wingspan is 6 to 8 feet? Like, that is huge. And they are, and actually, ladies, the female eagles are 25% bigger than the males. I did not know that. And their grip is 10 times stronger than a human grip. So their talons. So it's amazing that eagles are strong. I mean, they can fly up to 10,000 feet. They can soar. So when you think of that, the scripture, think about the eagles and how, you know, God specifically said, we will mount up with wings as eagles. We'll be strong. We'll be gliding, not on our own strength, because the way they get up there is by taking or gliding on the air currents. Otherwise, that would be a lot of flapping. So they know how to just soar and soar, and they can go higher than any other bird. It's just incredible. So God put that in there specifically for us to be encouraged. Also in Isaiah 30:18, it says, therefore, the Lord wants to be gracious to you. Therefore, he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. And then Micah says, therefore, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And back to Isaiah, they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Isaiah 49:23. So what are some of the benefits we just saw? Waiting for the Lord, you'll be strengthened. Your strength will be renewed. You'll receive mercy, help, hope. God hears you. You will not be ashamed, and you will be blessed. So there's a blessing of waiting for the Lord and waiting for his timing. Now, just a quick illustration, a little example of this. There was two women in the Bible, two mothers. One didn't do such a good job waiting, and the other one was a faithful woman who waited. So I just want to mention these. I know we're running kind of low on time, but that's okay. Genesis 16:1-2, and those of you probably guess where I'm going here. We are going to talk a little bit about Sarah as our first example. Now, Sarah was the wife of Abraham, and Abraham had a promise from God that even though he was elderly and she was barren all her life, that they would have a son from their own bodies. So it would be from Abraham and Sarah, their own son, and he would be the heir. And, you know, Abraham negotiated with God several times. He said, oh, let my servant, you know, let him be, and let this guy, let him be, you know, the heir. But God said, no, it's going to be a child from Abraham, from you, Abraham, and Sarah. He was specific about that. But then Sarah got a great idea because she got tired of waiting. It was 20 years, and she's also been barren all her life. And now this promise has come, but she's like, time's ticking. So she got this bright idea. So this is in Genesis 16. And this is back in the day, right? Back in this day where they sometimes had multiple wives. So we're not advocating this, or this is not a good idea. And you can see it never was a good idea. It never worked out well, and it doesn't in this situation. So Genesis 16, verse 1, now Sarai, because her name was Sarai before God changed it to Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So some Egyptians came with them when they, you know, moved different areas. So she joined themselves to Abram's crew. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham said, "Cool, I'll do it." He heeded the voice of Sarah. Now, should he have heeded? No, because he had the promise, right? But this was like, okay, whatever, you know, mama, if mama's not happy, no one's happy. So so anyway, the story, as you read it, and I encourage you to read this if you've never read this account, it's just hilarious because, you know, God keeps coming back and saying, no, Sarah, you are going to have your own baby. And she was ready because of her impatience and because of frustration, perhaps. She wanted this baby, and she was almost ready to give this up to another woman, well, she was, and to have her have the child instead. So it didn't turn out very well, and, you know, all of a sudden Hagar got an attitude, and Sarah, and they were fighting, and they wanted to send Ishmael or Hagar away, and then Ishmael was born. And you know what Ishmael's name actually means? Man of war. So here she, you know, allows this strife to come into her family and into her life because of impatience, because not waiting for that kairos moment, right? She had, the promise was there, but the manifestation was waiting. So, you know, sometimes we can mess things up because we step ahead, we jump ahead, we settle, or we compromise. And this is what Sarah did in this situation. And, you know, Ishmael caused a lot of problems. And just turn the news on today and you will see the problems have continued in the Middle East. And I'll say no more there. But 12 kings, God promised still to bless Ishmael because he came from Abraham. And he said 12 kings will come from Ishmael. Ishmael will be blessed. So there's a blessing there of, you know, prosperity and growth, and, you know, so, but they were always fighting for the land. They're still fighting for the land, right? So this man of war caused trouble because of Sarah's choices. And then when Isaac came, you know what Isaac's name means? Laughter, right? So would you rather pick war or would you rather pick laughter? I think we'd all want laughter because that's joy. And, you know, they named him that because Sarah laughed, Abram laughed. It was just hilarious that they thought it was hilarious that they would have this baby at the age of 90 and 100, which they did, and Sarah even nursed the baby. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he must have renewed her strength, right? So God had an appointed time, and I'll just read this one scripture. There's so much in the story that I like to go to, but I'll start from chapter 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her." And Abram fell on his face and laughed and said to his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" 18, and Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." So even he thought, you know, let Ishmael be the guy, okay? But then God said firmly, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac," which means laughter. "I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him." So I love that. God had a plan. It was going to happen in his time, you know, but they had to wait for it. They had to wait for that manifested time. They had to wait for that kairos moment. And of course, there was a time when an appointed time, Genesis 17, 13 to 14, when this happened. So Genesis 17, 13 to 14. Oh, I read that already. Okay. So there was an appointed time where Sarah was able to have this baby. And doing things in your own timing, just as a side note, can only cause strife and sometimes war. But doing things in God's timing results in joy and laughter. So it's just an awesome thing that Sarah did become that mother, and she became, you know, she produced that true heir. So don't settle in your life. Don't settle for the counterfeit. There will be counterfeits. There will be temptations. Just take this quick road, you know, make this decision now. You know, and if it's not God's timing, it's not going to be a blessing. It's not the relationship that you should be in. It's not the maybe the house you should buy or whatever, but or the move you should make to another place or another church. You know, let God reveal that to you and give you that peace. So on the other hand, we have Ruth, who I've spoken about Ruth before. I love the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters, but it's a wonderful story of how Ruth comes right after the book of Judges, and Judges was a very dark time in Israel's history. It was a time when Israel should have been faithful to God, but instead they were unfaithful to God. And the very last verse of the book of Judges said, and everyone did what they wanted because there was no king. So there was a void of leadership, and the people were just doing what they wanted. They didn't follow God's law. They didn't follow God's ways. And here comes Ruth. Ruth is actually a Moabite. She shows this pattern, this example of faithfulness. Ruth came, Moab was the seed of Lot and Lot's daughter. So there was incest in the Moabite line. And they were always contentious towards Israel, and they also worshipped Chemosh, which was a god. They had their own god. They did their own worship stuff, their own idol stuff. So here's Ruth. She, her husband dies, and her mother-in-law's, her father-in-law dies, and she decides to follow her mother-in-law back to Bethlehem because they were starving. There was no blessing. There was no food in Moab. So she comes back with Ruth, with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law said, call me Mara because I'm bitter. I went out full. You know, that's Naomi. And now I'm coming back empty. But she had Ruth with her. Ruth said, no, I'm not going to leave you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. Have you heard that in wedding ceremonies? It's a beautiful passage. We won't read it today. So she comes back to Bethlehem. And what was the first time she did? And this is God's timing. Again, this is a Kairos moment where she comes back and she says to her mother-in-law, in it was barley harvest time. So Ruth 1:22 says it was barley harvest time. And Ruth said she knew it was time to work, time to get food. She was going to feed her mother-in-law, support her mother-in-law. So she says that she knew it was time to work. So in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, 1, she says, please let me go to the field. Let me go to the field to start gathering this food because they were going to survive on it. And it's so cute because she goes to the field, and in chapter 2, and I'll just read this little portion, guess who sees her? Boaz. What a name. So Boaz sees her, and he owns the field. And he's like, ooh, who's this cute chick? Where did she come from? She's just respectfully, you know, gathering fields. Because back in the day, there was a law that said, leave a little bit of the corners for the, like, don't pick everything so carefully, but leave a little bit of the corners, leave a little bit of the extra on the trees for those who are in poverty. And I like that principle. That's so beautiful. You know, we could do that as well in our lives. Like, leave a little, always give a little to those who need or who are in need. So then Boaz spots her, and this is from chapter 2, verse 10. You guys will have to read the whole, it's only four chapters, so go read it. She fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes, and that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Verse 12, the Lord repay your work and a full reward will be given to you by the Lord of God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So that's just a beautiful Kairos moment right there, where he saw her, he prophesied to her, you are going to be blessed, girl. And as a result, he becomes what we call her kinsman redeemer, which is what Jesus is to us. So he took her under his wing, and he kind of adopts her, marries her. And you know what the cool thing about Ruth is? You know, she was an outsider. She was a foreigner. But she is one of the women listed in the genealogy of Jesus. So even though she was, like, from an ancestral background, she was, like, from a worship, idol worship background, she was able to enter into this awesome, awesome relationship. And her son was Obed, and then Obed's son was Jesse, and Jesse's son was David. So she was the great-grandmother of David, the greatest king of Israel. So just, these Kairos moments, and I would just like to encourage you, you know, be sensitive to God, to be at the right time, at the right place, and notice it, and be aware of it, that, okay, God's doing something right now, and I want to be open to that. You know, everything that happened to Ruth was because she knew it, she came at barley time, or at harvest time, she went to, you know, serve, she was humble, she was respectful, you know, just all of that came together for her ultimate blessing. You know, there's other women in the Bible that you might want to look at, like Deborah in the book of Judges. She led the army into victory. She was called the mother of Israel. She was at the right time, at the right place. She got the honor because she was brave enough to do that. The woman at the well, Jesus revealed himself to her as the Messiah. That was the first person that he openly, you know, other than the disciples, that he openly revealed himself to. She was there at the right time to receive that, and then she received so much more from him as well. And the women at the tomb, they were the first to witness the resurrection. They were going at the right time. They saw the angel. They saw, you know, they were the first ones to be able to declare with that, to declare that. So how do we wait? Well, pray, pour your heart out to God, trust, depend on his word, and help someone else. Go serve, because, you know, the cure for selfishness is serving and helping somebody else and getting out of your own self, and then who knows who you're going to meet and what's going to happen, right? Dedicate yourself to grow spiritually. Just say, you know, during this time, yes, this is a difficult time. I feel stuck, but let me use this time to grow. You know, God, grow me in areas that I need to grow. Heal my heart in areas where I need healing. You know, learn the lessons that God's teaching you, and no excuses, right? You're in it, you know, just open your heart and stop depending on your own understanding, trying to figure it out, right? And just a key here is that God doesn't, these Kairos moments might be little things. You know, he doesn't do like, you know, split the Red Sea every day, right? These might be little moments that will add up. And, you know, the Bible talks about in Matthew 13 that the smallest seed, the mustard seed, the kingdom of God is like that. It's the smallest seed. Once it's planted, it grows into a huge, huge tree, or the biggest herb in the garden, it says. And yet, it started off very small. So everything in the kingdom starts small. So these small decisions, little decisions that you might think, oh, you know, what does it matter? You know, they can really snowball into your destiny and what you need to do. So music team, you can come up. And I just want to read one more scripture. I'm just as bad as pastor, guys. one more. And I skipped some. Honest, I did. But this one, I just want to leave you with this. I love this. Habakkuk 2:2-3. Habakkuk 2:2-3. And I don't have this one marked, so I'm just going to look on the screen. There we go. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And the next verse, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. See that? The vision that God has given you is for an appointed time. And you are getting ready for it. You are getting ready to fulfill it. But at the end, it will speak. It will not lie. So what God spoken to you in your heart, It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for those promises, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So think about that appointed time. Think about the promises he's given you. You know, think about, look for your destiny. Look for your destiny. Look for those kairos moments where God will give you opportunity, where God will give you grace and favor. Just, you know, things that you don't deserve. All of a sudden it's like you're the one being promoted. You're the one winning the prize. You're the one meeting Boaz in the field, right? It can be any kind of kairos moment like that where he wants to bless you. And I just want to especially pray for the moms this morning. So moms, would you stand up? If you're a mom, grandma, foster mom, an expectant mom, awesome. And those of you who are sitting, don't touch them, but just reach your hand out towards them if they're beside you. If it's your mom, you can touch them. But if it's someone you don't know, don't touch them, but just reach your hand out. And let's close our eyes. We're going to pray for a special blessing on the moms today. Father, I thank you so much for this special Mother's Day that we take time to bless the mothers of this congregation, to bless the mothers that you have brought here today. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to give them strength. I know many may have maybe brokenhearted even from things that have happened as a mother, because being a mother is a tough, tough job. And things happen that we don't expect, that we don't prepare for, that we don't plan. But in the name of Jesus, right now we pray that the heart would be healed, that there'd be your healing balm to flow into that heart and just to heal that brokenness, heal the pain, and just cause a joy to spring up in there and a hopefulness that you are giving them new opportunities, new ways, new paths for the future. Thank you, Lord, that the destiny is still in your mind, and the promises, may they be in their hearts. And Lord, we pray for the children as well, those who need help today, those who need to come back, prodigals, we're calling them back in the name of Jesus, and we're calling safety and healing for all of our children and all of our families. And we thank you that this day is a blessed day, and that every mom would feel blessed and special and loved. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.